You can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 3. And tonight, I'm going to be sharing on courage and boldness. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to look at, to start, three men from the Word of God that were great men of God, but were also human. In 1 Kings 3, verse 5, it says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech, what? Please the Lord." And Solomon had that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And so this was God's promise to Solomon, who simply asked for wisdom and understanding to be able to lead God's people. And God said, absolutely. And on top of that, I'll give you all of this other stuff too. And if you, in verse 14, if thou will walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, then I'll give you length of days as well, a long life. So that's pretty awesome stuff. And if we go to chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "But King Solomon," and this is towards the end of his life, "King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, 'You shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods.' Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." So you have this man who was the wisest man ever, right? God said that he would give him wisdom so that so much that there was nobody before him that was that wise, and none unto him thereafter. And yet these were the choices that he made, you know, towards the end of his life. And if we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we can see that he did great things for God, right? He did great things for God, but he was human. 1 Chronicles 28:20 says, "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of what? Good courage. And do it." And he's referring to the building of the temple. "Be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And Solomon did that for God. He built the temple, right? And he did great things for God. And he was a very wise man, but he was human. And he made choices that were not the best, right? And that cost him at the end of his life. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. We'll look at his dad, David. 2 Samuel chapter 11. But he was told to be strong and very courageous. He was told not to have fear and not to be dismayed. And we'll see that throughout some of the records tonight. That's what God wants for our lives. 2 Samuel 11:26. "And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband." And this is Bathsheba. And we know the story that David saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop and just had to have her. And so he set up this elaborate scenario that would result in Uriah being killed on the front lines of battle so that he could have Bathsheba. Verse 27, "And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done, what? Displeased the Lord." That wasn't cool, man. Chapter 12, verse 7. So God tells Nathan to go talk to David and give him this parable and this story about a rich man who takes the lone sheep. And verse 7, "Nathan said to David, thou art the man." Because David got all heated and said, who is this guy that would take this one sheep and from a, you know, when he had all these other sheep to choose from. And David said, or Nathan tells him, you're the guy. It's you. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, that wasn't enough. I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things, whatever you would have asked. Wherefore hast, you know, how come you have despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." Right? And so he calls him out on it and says, you know, what is this all about? Go to Acts chapter 13. And David was a great man of God. David as a youth, a young man, slayed Goliath. He believed God when countless others wouldn't. And God did amazing things for him to protect him and take care of his life throughout his reign as king. And in Acts 13:22, it says, speaking of King Saul before David, "And when God had removed him, King Saul, he," or God, "raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own what? Heart, which shall fulfill all my will." That's how God looked at David. Sure, David screwed up, but David also repented for the thing that he had done with Bathsheba and to Uriah. And God said, he's a man after mine own heart. You know, here in the Grace Administration, written to us. That's how God looked at David, as a man after his own heart. Go to Acts chapter 8. But he was just human. He and his son getting in trouble with the ladies. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul, this was before his name was changed to Paul, was consenting or approving unto his death, meaning Stephen's death. So they stoned Stephen, and Saul was there approving unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. There was a great persecution of the church, and Saul was the one who was leading it. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing or dragging men and women, committed them to prison. So he was going into these places of worship and literally dragging people out and throwing them in prison. He was having people killed. Saul was not a great guy at that time. But he thought that he was doing the right thing for God. Right? His heart was to get rid of these Christian radicals who were turning people away from the law and God's word. That's where it was coming from. And we all know that he's converted on the road to Damascus. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul speaking. God gave him revelation about quite a bit. I mean, he gave him the revelation to write the church epistles. Paul wrote all of these via revelation. And just before this, it talks about how God gave him revelation about the third heaven and earth. And in verse 7 it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." But the point is that Paul received a huge amount of revelation, right? Once he committed his life to Christ and to God, he did amazing things. His past was pretty dang muddy, not a great one. But he did amazing things for God and for the people of God and received an abundance of revelation. We'll see other things that he did later. But this was a man who literally killed believers, right? And these examples are examples of imperfect men that God worked with, right? Who had the courage and the boldness to do incredible things. Go to Romans chapter 8. They had the courage and the boldness to take God at his word and to believe it. And God was able to work with them. He was able to work with guys who made mistakes. So when we make mistakes, it doesn't mean that we're not worthy or that God can't work with us. We too can have that boldness and that courage. In Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore now..." Just a little bit of condemnation.
No.
There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's none. There's none. If anybody was going to condemn themselves, right, it would have been Paul, who murdered a bunch of people in the church. But instead, he took a stand for God and did great and amazing things, right? We can't let the mistakes of our past or the ones that we're sure to make tomorrow screw up our relationship with God, limit our future and the things that we can do with God, right? There is therefore now no condemnation. That's how God sees us, right? We can always have fellowship with the Father when we come back to him. There's no reason for us to have any condemnation. Go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28. Verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, But the righteous are bold as what? A lion. Are you righteous?
Yes.
That's right. You're righteous. That's what God's made you to be, righteous. Then you can have the boldness of a lion. There is no condemnation. God sees you as righteous. Yes, we screw up. Yes, we have screwed up. Yes, we'll screw up again. But God sees you as righteous. And the righteous are as bold as a lion. Right? The lion is the king of the jungle. He's as bold as he wants to be. He goes after what he wants to go after. Right? That's how we can be. God says we're righteous. We can be bold too. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We don't have to be afraid. When you're at the top of the food chain, you don't have anything to worry about. Nothing's coming after you to eat you. And that's the lion. Everything else has to kind of be concerned about what you're gonna do. And the adversary should be concerned about what you're gonna do. You should be as bold as a lion. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Right? We have spirit. We have Holy Spirit. God gave us a spirit of power. It's a powerful spirit. We can operate manifestations. We can get information from God. We can work miracles. We can believe God's word to the end that we do amazing things. We can be bold and courageous. And it's a spirit of love and of a sound mind, right? And how wonderful is that, to have a sound mind? To be able to think sound thoughts and truth of God's word, right? That helps us to be bold and courageous. We can live lives that are free of worry and fear, doubt and anxiety, because God's given us a powerful spirit. Our brains aren't perfect. We have to renew them. But our spirit is perfect. And it's powerful, and it helps us to have a sound mind as we tap into that spirit, right? And we walk in fellowship with God. Go to Joshua chapter 1. How loving of God to give us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, to give us the tools that we need to be bold and courageous in this life. That's what God wants for his people. Just like David told his son to be bold and courageous, to not have fear, to not dismay. It's all throughout the Bible, that phrase. Don't fear, don't dismay, be courageous. Here in Joshua, we'll see God use that three times. Verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, his right-hand guy, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And this was them knocking on the door of the promised land. Moses did not get to go in. But Joshua was taking over this people, this great exodus of people who had left Egypt. And Moses had led them to the doorstep, and now he was dead. That's some big shoes to fill. Joshua is suddenly thrust into a position of great leadership and great responsibility. It's a big deal. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And look at what God just does for Joshua. You think he understands people? He created them. He knows their hearts. That's a huge situation to find yourself suddenly in. And he tells him, every place that you're going to walk, I've already given it to you. It's already yours, just like I told Moses. And it's much like Ephesians is us today, to us today, right? Ephesians just lists out all this stuff that's already given to us, that's already available to us, that's just a matter of us claiming, that it's right there for us to take. And that's what it was like for Joshua. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So he lays out for them the whole borders of everything that they were going to claim. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Well, that's reassuring. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And here he tells him, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and what? Very courageous. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then they did the word, shalt thou make thy way prosperous. And then, if they did the word, they would have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. This is the third time he's told. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. So you have the inverse. Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid or dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Right? What holds us back from claiming what's ours? It's fear. It's dismay. It's anxiety. It's worry. Right? A lack of courage and boldness. And that's why God encouraged Joshua with these words. And in this manner, telling him three times to be strong and very courageous. So that he wouldn't be held back. So that he would go and claim what was his. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. And it's no different with us. God is always there for us. He will never leave us or forsake us. So we too can have great courage and great boldness. We have nothing to fear because God's with us. Hebrews 13:5. Here he tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. And I think in the Hebrew it's a question, rhetorical question. What can man do to me? Right? I will not fear. What can man do to me? When we have God on our side, there's nothing that man can do to us. God promises to take care of us in all ways, to never leave us or forsake us. And when we truly believe that, we'll kick out the fear and we'll boldly proclaim it. And that includes to others. Go to Acts chapter 4. Just like the believers in the first century did. Which we'll see here in Acts 4:23. So Peter and John are threatened. They're put before the council. They're beaten. And it says in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They threatened him not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. Verse 24, and when they heard that, the people that they went and reported it to, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, with like-mindedness, with singleness of heart, and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may what?
Speak
thy word. Right? Their leaders were just taken hostage and beaten and threatened and told, don't speak this anymore. And they came back and said, this is what they did. And the people's response was a prayer to God to give them more boldness to speak God's word, to give them more boldness to do the very thing that their lives had just been threatened about. Verse 30, by or while stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with what?
Boldness.
What a prayer and what an answer to that prayer. Right? They weren't about to let men talk them out of what they knew to be right, out of holding forth God's word, out of speaking it with boldness. Right? With God on our side, what can men do to us? And so they did what they knew to do. They prayed to God, and God answered their prayer right there. And they spake it with great boldness. Go to Acts 19, verse 8. So we too should have great boldness in speaking God's word. How else are people going to hear about it if we don't talk about it? Acts 19, verse 8. This is Paul. Remember Paul? We talked about him earlier. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when diverse people were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, took the people who would believe, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Right? This was a man who had persecuted the church. This was a man who killed other believers. And here he was preaching boldly Jesus Christ, spreading the gospel, telling other people about God and what his son accomplished for their lives. But by the space of 2 years and 3 months, all of Asia Minor heard the word. Verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. That's what comes from speaking God's word and holding it forth. People believe it, and then God can work in those situations. He can do great things. He can show forth his power. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. He was healing people who weren't even there, whose clothes had come to him. Right? That was the guy who was persecuting the church. That was the guy who threw off the condemnation and decided to live for God, regardless. Right? Do you think that guy had a lot of fear and doubt and worry about what was going on in his life? He walked with God. He knew that God was going to provide for him. He knew that God was going to take care of him. Go to 1 John chapter 4. If he wallowed in fear and doubt and anxiety, he never would have moved the word like that. Wouldn't have seen those special miracles in his life. We can't let that stuff prevent us or limit us in our walk with God. 1 John 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is what? Love. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein, and that herein refers to the previous verse, it's in this union of fellowship with God. This union and fellowship with God. Herein is our love made perfect or perfected, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And the day of judgment is today. It's another expression for today. That we should have boldness today. Because as he is, what did verse 16 say God is?
Love.
As he is, so are we in this world. We are the love this world needs. We're the love that we love with the love of God. We reflect God's love to other people. As he is, so are we in this world. We're the love that this world needs. So we should love boldly. We should show people that love. We shouldn't be shy about it. We should show them the great love that God has for them. And we're going to close in Joshua 24. Remember Joshua, who God told to be strong and very courageous? Well, at the end of his life, he exhorts Israel. Joshua 24, verse 11. He got to see great things come to pass. He got to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He got to see God defeat the enemies of Israel. He got to see those different armies and those nations fall one by one as they took the promised land. And at the end of his life, in chapter 24, verse 11, it says, and he's listing out what God, I won't read all of it, but the end of, he's listing out what God did for the children of Israel. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgasites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. Not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. I sent hornets, so you didn't have to fight them. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor. I gave you all this land and you didn't work for it. I gave you cities which you didn't build. And you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and the olive yards which you planted not, do you get to eat. Right? They get to eat from things that they didn't even plant. They just went in and took it all. Because God gave it to them. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Reverence or respect him, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, the people they just kicked out, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve who?
The Lord.
And that was his proclamation. That was his exhortation to the children of Israel. Right? God did all these wonderful, amazing things for them. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to take as your gods? Challenging the people of Israel at the end of his life to maintain their relationship and their fellowship with God so that their lives would be taken care of. And if we have the boldness and the courage to believe God and his word and stand on it and walk out on it, then we'll have great success and prosperity too.